54. Natalia. Natalia didn't get time to herself very often. There was always something to do, someone to take care of, time to spend with family or down in the lab, or going out into the streets to talk to the residents. There were always problems big and small, things that needed fixing, things to organize. And then there was Hayden. She had loved him for a long time. It had grown into a comfortable love, like an easy breeze on a warm day. Predictable and safe. And she liked it that way. She had proof he would do anything for her. He had already saved her from hopeless despair once, and she wanted more than anything to return the favor. It was the reason that when she found herself in her apartment with Halya asleep and Ginny at the movies, she didn't remain fixed for long. She went into Halya's room, picking up her daughter carefully enough she didn't wake her, and placed her gently in an old rolling crib she had restored. She covered the top of it with a thick material to keep it dark, and then headed out of the apartment, down the corridor to the lift, and from the lift out into the street. The movie theater was a couple of streets over, and she crossed them uneventfully, saying hello to the few people who hadn't gone to see the film. She still remembered the day they had finally found a bulb for the projector and built a wire to connect it to the old playing device. They had inherited a collection of movie discs from a storeroom of one of the buildings, and scavengers started bringing them more as word began to spread. Now they showed the films a few nights a week, the 500-seat theater always filled to bursting.
"Governor Duke,"
Deputy Salas said as she approached the entrance.
"Come to see the movie?"
Natalia smiled.
"No, I was just hoping you could pass a message to Ginny for me. Just tell her to find me in the lab when the movie's over."
"Yes, ma'am." "You could have asked me over the comm."
Natalia smiled.
"I wanted some fresh air. How's everything looking?"
"Calm and quiet, just like we like it."
"Good. Let's try to keep it that way. Good night, Harvey."
"Good night, Governor Duke. I'll get that message to Ginny right away."
Natalia headed back to the pyramid, boarding the lift and taking it down to the subterranean garage that served as her research lab. Hayden had gone to find her in Ick, knowing how important it was for them to better understand the appearance of these new aliens and how Sergeant Caleb Card fit in. She knew how worried he was that accessing the collective would kill her the next time, instead of leaving her with the limp she was still dealing with. She needed to do whatever she could to minimize the danger. The lab was deserted. Most of the engineers had gone to see the movie, and the rest were probably already asleep, preparing for an early start in the morning. Her people were dedicated, almost as dedicated as she was. They were the reason Sanisco ran as well as it did. So much of everything was over 2 centuries old. The electrical wires, the water pipes, even the reactors that fed power to the city. It was a minor miracle any of it held together at all, and another that they were able to keep it all running. Natalia rolled the carriage into the corner near the neutral interlink. Halya was fast asleep, cooing softly beneath the cover. Natalia walked over to the terminal connected to the link and sat down, flipping on the display. She tapped on the control pad, logging into the system, and going back to the readings from her first time using the device. From what Dr. Hess had told her, the cause of her near-death experience was an overload of input from the collective. A simple case of too much data flowing into her brain for her brain to handle. What she needed was a valve, a means to control the flow. In order to create one, she had to better understand precisely how the ICK functioned. It was challenging because she didn't have a real one to experiment with. Instead, she was left with the data captured by the computers during her use. Lutz had been working overtime on building simulations based on that data, and she wanted to check on them now to see if she could continue his work. She opened the source code, reading through his algorithms. She understood them for the most part, though there were a couple of secondary calculations she would need to quiz him about in the morning. The good news was that since the collective flowed into her mind through the interlink, a machine, it was reasonable to expect they could gain a measure of control over it. The only question was whether or not limiting the flow would leave the collective essentially useless to them.
She played with the calculations for a while, bringing over a chalkboard and scribbling different ideas on it, erasing most of them after they didn't fit. Hayden thought she was the smartest person he knew, but she didn't see it that way. She made a lot of mistakes. Too many mistakes. He was the one out there saving lives every day. He was the one with the courage to face every challenge thrown at them head on. There were plenty of times she wanted it to all go away so she could focus on the family she had fought so hard to build. 2 hours passed in a blink. Natalia leaned back in her chair, staring at the code on the screen. She was missing something, but what? She glanced over at the carriage. Halia was still out cold. She slept like her father. Natalia smiled, but it faded quickly. Where was Hayden? She should have heard something from him by now. She tapped on her comm, speaking softly.
Fry, are you there?
She waited a few seconds. No reply.
Fry?
She looked down at the comm. The LED was red. Fry wasn't answering. He was on comms duty tonight. Maybe he went to use the bathroom. But her call would go through to him there. She stood up and walked over to the carriage. It had to be a malfunction in her comm. It wouldn't be the first time. She would walk it up to the office and swap it out with another. She wrapped her hands around the handle of the carriage, and then the power went out.
You have to be kidding me, Natalia said, staring straight ahead into the pitch black.
She tapped her comm a few times, the LED turning bright white, a mini flashlight that provided just enough light for her to see her surroundings. They had managed to go 3 months without a power outage. The timing was awful.
Come on, Hal. We need to see what happened to the lights.
She turned around, wheeling the carriage in front of her, freezing, when she saw a ghost.